Welcome to Alphabet Flight, an encyclopedic Marvel journey where we go through the official Marvel handbook and talk about the characters we know and love and have gotten along the way. I'm your temporary host, Jordan, and with me today is someone who stole stuff from Spider-Man, I guess? Kendall.
I would never steal from Spider-Man. He's my hero.
So you just borrowed those extra costumes.
Yeah. Well, they were trash,
yeah,
right?
That's true. He wasn't using them. We're joking around because we're talking about Black Marvel and he has ties to the Slingers, and we'll get to that in a moment. But before today, have you ever heard of the Black Marvel?
So, okay. I have. The name definitely sounds familiar. I tried to read his first appearance. Apparently his first appearance is in Slingers number zero.
In modern comics, yeah, Marvel. He's a legacy character. We'll get into it. Yeah.
He was in Mystic Comics number 5, which is not on Marvel Unlimited.
Oh.
They only have Mystic Comics number 3. Jerks.
Actually, hold on. I can link you a picture of it, by the way, which I think it's rather nice for, what is it, like the 40s or 50s? 40s. For a 40s comic cover, I think it's actually pretty good because it has the bad guys and they're not horrible characters, goblin characters like what they sometimes did back then. So, like, for just in the...
Well, it's 1940, so they're Nazis.
They're not like subhuman like they sometimes have done with when they did comics during World War II. Mm.
Yeah. So I tried to read this issue and it wasn't available anywhere, and then it wasn't available on Marvel Unlimited. I didn't like see if it's in Comixology or anything, but then I went to try to read Slingers, and Marvel.com doesn't even have the cover of Slingers number 1. Like that was like, I went to their Slingers page and it was like, apparently the only issue that exists of Slingers is number 1.
that's not true.
And yeah, I know. They probably lost it when they went bankrupt. Cuz it was from 1998-1999. It really bugged me now because I remember as a kid, like, I probably had 5 issues of Spider-Man growing up, and I think one of the, like, where Spider-Man was wearing other costumes, mm-hmm. that became the Slingers costumes, I think I had one of those issues. But I don't remember. I mean, it was when I would have been 10 or 11 years old at the time. So like, you know, obviously it was the Spider-Man issue, it would have been before that. So I would have been, like 9 or 10, but I do remember seeing the Slingers comics, like everywhere in dollar bins when I used to be a dollar bin person, 10 years ago or something. And I just assumed that they would be on Marvel Unlimited, but I was really surprised that they weren't. Otherwise I would have read them this afternoon.
Well, let's get into it then. His real name is Dan Lyons. He has no known aliases and his identity is secret. His occupation is a retired adventurer and citizenship, American citizen with no criminal record. Place of birth, Los Angeles, California. No relatives, a father, name unrevealed, who's deceased. Group affiliation, mentor of the Slingers. Education, college graduate, and first appearance, Mystic Comics number 5 in 1941. And as I said, we'll get into some of the Slingers. In case listeners don't remember or don't know, the Slingers first originally were 4 alternate personalities that Spider-Man used when he got framed. Like, he used it to crime fight and to clear his name. But at some point, someone took those costumes of his and gave it to 4 other people, and they started being those superheroes. And that's what the Slingers became. They were just like 4 people that went on to become, you know, superheroes themselves. And I think Prodigy and Ricochet still kind of pop up every now and then. Like, I know Ricochet was in that Loner's run where there's like the help for B-lister or D-list superheroes. And it had like Phil Urich and Dark and Chris Powell from Dark Hawk.
Well, so and Prodigy was a big player in
Civil War.
Yeah. Right? Because he was the drunk guy that was like the first arrest.
Yeah.
Also, Jordan, you want to loan me $224 plus and 50 cents plus $10 shipping?
For four now.
For Mystic number 5 to 59.
Oh.
Of the
it's the whole
Marvel. Run. It's starting at number 5 actually. I think this is a different book.
Yeah, cuz there's a couple of Mystic so and so and Mystic Comics. So it's really hard to pin down the correct Mystic Comics that this was. It took a little work.
Yeah, this is just Mystic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said like in the Black Llama, we're trying to remember who created him. The creator is Al Gabriel, who I did a little quick search on. This is specifically Timely Comics, so that's where like Mystic Comics is. It was Timely Comics, but he's also one of the persons who co-created Miss America and the Wizard, who might be the parents of Wanda and Pietro. We don't know. they keep muddying whether. At the moment, they are not his Magneto's biological kids in the comics.
Yeah, they're gonna be again, though. I mean, the only reason they undid it was because of the mutant thing.
Yeah, but anyways,
I don't know this Mystic book. The covers look really cool. I don't know if it's worth $224, but. I'll have to keep that in mind. Prodigy and the Slingers and everything. And the guy that we're talking about.
Formed them, apparently. So anyways, and just a reminder, this is from the 40s, so we've got a little bit of White Savior kind of complex going on there in his origin story, but I think we're just going to have to deal with it because that's just how a lot of things in the 40s did.
Yeah. I mean, seems to me like White Savior is almost progressive for the 40s, probably. Because it acknowledges that people are human.
Anyways, here we have his history where when his father's longtime friend, Chief Mantu of the Blackfoot, lay dying, Don Lyons underwent a series of tests to prove himself worthy of carrying on the heroic traditions of Mantu's tribe, surpassing the skills of the tribe's best men. Giving the costume identity of the Black Marvel, Lyons returned to Los Angeles to battle evil, placing a notch on a bow for each criminal he brought to justice. The Black Marvel met success against the likes of the Grinner, Vul Khan, and the Hood, and I'm guessing this isn't the current Hood, this is... Yeah, and in late 1942, he accompanied the invaders and others on an attack against a European Axis base. However, in the late 1940s, he suffered a tragedy while trying to save lives during a fire at New York's Grand Royal Hotel. Although he saved many, several died in the fire despite his best efforts. The Marvel apparently retired soon after, but he became troubled by a film version of the disaster, which depicted him as an infallible hero and downplayed the lives that were lost. Over the years, Lyons obsessed over the film and his failure, becoming determined to recreate the conditions of the fire to win a second chance at success. In recent years, as the Grand Royal prepared to reopen, Lyons, now an old man, now this is where it gets crazy, like you can see, like, oh, he wants to try and regain and redo the whole thing, and this is kind of why he became mentor of the Slingers, like he wanted to raise them as heroes to help prop him up and stuff. How he went about it. Okay. Lyons, now an old man, made a pact with the demon Mephisto, who granted him renewed vitality to embark upon his plan and gave him the costumes and equipment of four superhero identities: Prodigy, Hornet, Ricochet, and Dusk, all of which had been previously used by the heroic Spider-Man. Again, the Black Marvel, he presented the identities to four college students whom he trained as the Slingers. Of the four, Prodigy was the most devoted to him. However, Ricochet and Hornet began to suspect the Marvel's intentions. They arrived at the Grand Royal on opening night, just as he had filled the building with explosives. When the fire began, the Marvel, lost in his fantasies of renewed praise and gratitude, became confused by the attendees' panic and was finally incapacitated by Ricochet. Although the Marvel had failed to reclaim his heroism, the Slingers fared better, managing to save everyone in the building. And I think I actually kind of like was able to find some images from that. And Prodigy got buried under the Grand Royal Hotel at the end of that. Like, it was, for a while they thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Either Prodigy died or and was like his brother took over the mantle or something. Or
I'm not sure, because like I said, like it was,
or they thought he was dead or something. Yeah. This isn't a Prodigy episode.
And unfortunately, the Slingers don't get their individual entries, but later on in the handbook, there is a Slingers article that's about the team, so we will at least cover them a little bit more later.
Mm-hmm. So actually, I do want to, like, a little bit address the origin story a little bit, because I want to talk through something here, and hopefully it doesn't make me sound like a horrible person. But I totally understand the problematic nature of the white savior thing, or the white, I don't even know, is that, that's, I don't feel like that's quite white savior. It's another trope that is, it's like the white guy is the outsider that comes in and he's better than all the native people. You know, it's Iron Fist or whatever.
Yeah, I probably was using white savior is a shorthand term, but you're probably right. There's a more specific idea to the trope.
But we know the trope that we're talking about. And I think it's interesting. And actually, like when I said progressive, I mean, I don't know how it was handled. It probably was handled very, very poorly in the 1940s. I don't know, depending on who you ask, the 1940s may have been a more,
more
progressive time than we give it credit for. But, I mean, cause I think the racism got worse, like in the, you know, in the '50s and the '60s, but I don't know. I also may be whitewashing history there. I don't know, but anyway, but I want to talk about the trope and sort of another trope that I've kind of wrestled with lately. And, since we're both two white people, we can definitely speak to representation of minorities, so acknowledging all that stuff. But I mean, first of all, I actually, if it wasn't for all of the problems in the world and all of the racism and all of the, like, if we actually had superheroes that were diverse and everything like that, the idea of somebody from our culture, being in a fish out of water and then learning about another culture, if the point of view character wasn't always a white dude, like that actually isn't the worst thing in the world.
Being taught to learn and respect a culture outside of them taking he's better than them all for some reason kind of thing. Other than that,
right.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad plot. It's not a bad thing to see.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you need a point of view character. It's just that the Shang-Chi movie had a point of view character, but he was the right race. he was the race of the, and he had a connection to that culture already. That's the thing. But I will say, like, I noticed this with the MCU version of Ms. Marvel. We talked a little bit about Ms. Marvel in the last episode. And it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit that they changed her origin to be more like her powers were kind of connected with her being from East Asia, from Southeast Asia. part of what I liked about Ms. Marvel in the comics is that
she was just a normal kid who just got powers.
Right. She's a normal kid. She's also very much a religious Muslim. You know, so she is very much representation and, you know, created by, somebody, of that culture and everything. And when I read those comics, cause I grew up in a religious household, in a Christian religious household. But my parents didn't let me go out late. You know, I had rules in a way, and I saw her having to deal with her parents' rules in a way that I don't see a lot in fiction, you know? And so it was like, because they were trying to create a very specific experience, I, as somebody who had a completely different experience could relate to it. But then I feel like between, yeah, like her and Shang-Chi and some other characters, they like forcing it to, for the minority character has to be forced to have their powers connected with their heritage. Whereas like Spider-Man doesn't.
Yeah.
You don't have like a superhero who's like a black dude that goes and learns the ways of the Native Americans. Like it's always a white dude, but I don't know. I just like, it's something that I've been grappling with, because also they use that as a stepping stone to like sort of teach more about that, show more about that culture. But then it's like, is the job of representation in a superhero media, is it its job to teach everybody about that culture, or is it just to show that people, you know, the people that look like this can be heroes? And I don't know the answer, but it still like seemed a little questionable, especially with such a great character like Ms. Marvel. I have her first issue behind me. Anyway, that's my tangent. I promise I won't have any more tangents.
That's fine, because we're almost done, actually. Subsequently, Mephisto came to collect the Black Marvel soul and also attempted to claim the souls of the Slingers as payment for the Marvel's tutelage. However, each of the Slingers discarded their costume identities, a personal sacrifice that enabled the Black Marvel soul to escape Mephisto's clutches and seek a better afterlife. And I'm pretty sure some of them took him back up afterwards, but yeah, that's like Prodigy especially, but someone took it up, but yeah, they saved him from Mephisto. He was just trying to regain his courage, and he did it in a very bad way by starting another fire. But anyways, we've got his little box of info here. His height is 5'9". His weight is 170 pounds. Eyes are green. Hair is gray, formerly brown. And under abilities and accessories, in his prime, the Black Marvel possessed above-average strength, speed, and stamina, as well as uncanny archery skills. After bargaining with Mephisto in his old age, his infirm body was granted the abilities of a much younger man. And that's all they've got about here. So, let's see. Are you ready for some trivia here? Okay, and here's the question. Who did he accompany in 1942 in an attack against a European Axis base?
The Invaders.
Yep, you got it. The Invaders. I'm trying to think who else would be around that time that it would be. Because there's at least three or four teams then, right? There was like the Invaders. I think there was a version of Defenders, Liberty Legion, Liberty Legion, I think, came in the 50s.
Yeah, I don't know. I the only one I know is the Invaders. I mean, if it had been, it would have been harder if it was like, well, I probably would have remembered it, but, you know, if it was specifically Namor Jim Hammond
if it was one of them specifically and not the team.
It was one of them specifically, yeah. But, yeah, or if it was like a random,
like,
or if it was a Golden Age Flash.
All right. Is there anything you'd like to plug before you leave? Because, like I said, this is a very short episode with this one.
Sure. Same thing. KendallCast.ninja. That's what we called music, the movie roundtable. Oh, Beyond Bulbasaur. I have relatively recently episodes. It's just a meditative. This last season has just been a meditative review. Just me kind of reading an essay about a Pokemon. I did about 5 or 6 episodes. Yeah. And, when is this getting released?
This might,
do you think?
Probably will go out next week. These two episodes will be
next week. Okay.
And then the week after will probably be, Black Panther.
Okay. Well, yeah, then yeah. Kendallcast.ninja. Just go to Kendallcast.ninja for my stuff. You probably heard more details on the last episode, so I'll keep it short.
All right. And as I've said before, you can find Alphabet Flight on Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Instagram at Alphabet Flight, all one word. And you can also catch Art's new podcast, Justice Like Lightning, a Thunderbolts podcast. Just look for Justice Like Lightning in any, you know, on any podcast place and you'll find it. And that will be all for us here with Black Marvel and such. May Khonshu protect you on all your night travels. Goodbye.